Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
We're your Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wa.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and mostly trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be stormy and windy and wet. And it can be snowy and chilly and cold. And hopefully at the end of the day, something mildly sweet, like hot chocolate. Doesn't that sound great? I love apple cider. Most apple cider? Is that a joke?
Yeah, I...
You never in the entirety of our friendship have been to my house where I've been like apple cidering?
No.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it.
No, I've literally never seen you had any apple cider.
Well, that's really sad.
I don't love it. I don't love it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it so much. I love it. A little cranberry juice in there. It's so great. You know who's also never going to feel the warmth of a nice glass or a cup of apple cider again? Chance. Because he ruined it all. This is,
yeah,
again, from Love After Lockup, season 5, episode 10, Fighting Chance.
Taylor's warm apple cider vagina.
Yeah, I just, who do you want to start with?
Them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's make sense. Okay, so Chance and Taylor. So
Taylor tried to walk into this situation with the upper hand, but she forgot her jacket. So immediately she wasn't ready for this fight. And Chance has one foot up, smoking a cigarette again. He really is trying to set the scene here. And this man is like, Taylor, do you want me to get you a jacket? You seem cold, Taylor. She's like, yeah. I was like, bitch, lost the fight.
You sit there, you shiver. You stand there and shiver. He's, before they even meet up though, he's like maniacally walking back and forth. They're catching him smoking. He's saying things like, if you deny me at this point, I'm going to walk away for good. And it's like, the point is she wants you to walk away for good. You're the one trying to get back. So like, you cannot suddenly reverse the power position. Like she's the one being like, please Chance, give me one more, one more chance. It's so funny. But yeah. So then she has also this moment before they meet up where she shows the camera, like pics of them in better times because they had a little Californian vacation.
Mm-hmm. They got into a photo booth. And they took a picture. I mean, Chris and I have gotten into a photo booth in California and also taken pictures. So,
basically
that. We did it too. So, And so she's like, I guess I got to get rid of this and me and Chance. And this whole time we're like, bitch, you have this man's baby. You're going to see him.
Yeah, you know, she's like, he wasn't always bad. There are the good times. He's like, I forget that he's like a textbook insane gaslighter when he fights with Taylor, because we haven't had, like, I haven't been remembered of it until this scene where he says the banana rammiest things where you're just like, oh my God, you are psychotic. And I think it's very good for us all to watch it. Like, I'm mm-hmm. happy as a society we're watching mm-hmm. it. Now, I wish that every person that watched it then had like a professional right after be like, what you just saw is gaslighting. Don't let anyone try and manipulate conversations to turn it around on you, because in the moment, in the heat of the moment, you can see it so clearly. And it's so like obvious. Like it almost feels like if you were Taylor and you're in the situation, you'd be like, I'm sorry, what did you just say to me? You insane person. He has the audacity before they even meet to say things like, I've been suffering this whole time because I did this stuff to her and I know it the whole time and how much it would hurt her. So it's like, she thinks she's hurting. I'm hurting because I'm the fucking one that hurt her. You're just like,
you know what?
What?
It's crazy, but I do get it. I get that. I get somebody in the moment feeling remorse for what they did and then just feeling like they can't get out of the hamster wheel. And so they keep on doing the bad behavior to cover up for the bad behavior. And so they do more bad. Like, so in a strangely odd way, it made sense. It still is wild, though, that he would just say it.
The sentence makes sense, and I understand the sentiment, but what is happening is every time he should be like, I really fucked up on Taylor because she was a good woman to me and she didn't deserve this and I have hurt her across the board. That's not what he's saying. At every turn, he's like, well, you should really think of me because it was about how... Okay, so anyway, this is... But everything I said is before he even really got to her. Once he gets to her, yes, then Wahum is right. This whole thing happens where he's like, you see, you don't have a coat. Let me get you a coat. And she's like, yes, Chance, please. And then, of course, when he puts it on her, he like steals a hug. She's like, no, Chance, that's not how this is supposed to go. This is about me standing my ground with my really bad highlights and I don't know who did this to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, and also... I stole a hug because I'm a thief. So there's nothing that that man can say. Every time that man tries to act hard, all I will see is Bobo hemming him up against a brick wall. And I won't ever be able to. I was on TikTok, Chris, and all the time. But as recently as 5 minutes ago. No, I was washing dishes 5 minutes ago. But anyways, doesn't matter when. Okay, so I was on TikTok and these people were telling a story that they got from Twitter or somewhere on the internet about a woman who had a one-night stand, brought that person over to her house, didn't kick him out afterwards, allowed him to spend the night. Then he got up in the next morning and wouldn't leave. She called her brother to come over to help him get out. He beats up her brother. So she calls the police and then the police are able to get him out. He like jams before the police get there. Right. And she is mad at her brother because he didn't defend her. Right. Mom is mad at her too for like the brother, whatever, whatever. And I thought to myself, you're right. You shouldn't date somebody that your brother wouldn't be able to like beat up in a fight. And I was thinking,
I don't have a brother, so I don't get to ever date anyone. I have no brothers.
Well, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about me, Wahima. That's what I was thinking. You, Wahima, should not be like someone your brother can't just beat up, or you can't beat up. Okay, that's one, just two. Two, it's like also with like Chance and Taylor, it's like I cannot see someone you're dating. I cannot see someone I'm dating. I cannot see someone, anybody, and I don't even know Taylor. I cannot see anyone that anyone is dating get him up without him at least trying.
Get him beat up. So, okay. So you're saying
hemmed up means just like kind of being punked. And like, to me, hemmed up also means like this up against something. That means that somebody hemmed you up. Like they just like punked you and also like, you know, that's like hemming somebody up. Like I cannot see that and then unsee. And then you're going to try to come be tough with me. I'm a woman. And now you are an absolute punk for doing this. Like he just, to me, gave off such a lowbrow energy. And I know he is. And I know whatever, whatever. But in the context of this show, that's her man. That's the father of her child. And he is doing this all to her. And it's so unmanly.
Yeah, I mean, he literally goes back and forth between, you know, blaming her like, look, when I first got to prison, I had every intent to just be the most perfect guy, but you just always had issues with me and you pushed me into the arms of five different people, four women and one man. She's like, when she gets word that he did cheat on her, she's like really pissed, like, I fucking hate you. I'm like, okay, well, you obviously knew. And then she's like, well, how many men? And then him telling the story about his friend is like basically him being like, well, yeah, I have this
gay guy friends. So I go to the gay guy friend's house and suddenly, you know, she's like, hey, what's up? And he just starts like, you know, sucking my dick. But that's all that happened. And I didn't really like come. I didn't come from it. And also I didn't get penetrated and I didn't penetrate. So, and then they cut to him in confession. He's like, look, there's billions of gay people out in the world. If I was gay, I would just say it. Why would I not have a problem? And I mean, first of all, this made me think, like, I think we don't talk about on the show ever the idea of that some men who've been in prison for a long time who are used now to a certain expression of their sexuality need that expression once they get out, if they're not accustomed to being open, liking that expression. Is this what's happening? Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I'm saying I also think that with that expression comes just like if somebody else, like when they're on the outside, if they don't have their normal expression, they will accept other expressions. And it's just like, listen, we're all in this world and we all have like mouths and we all have things and we can use them however we wish to use them. Now, he said, tries to say that he didn't get hard. And I have a sneaky suspicion because he was high and drunk when it happened. Not because he didn't want it to happen, just because he couldn't because of, you know, high and drunkenness. Now, what he was high and drunk on, I don't know. But he is an addict exhibiting addict behaviors. But I mean, a lot of things were said throughout that conversation. And for her to act like him cheating on her is the worst thing that he could have done is really putting her priorities out of whack. I think the worst thing that he could have done is act in any kind of negative way in front of her children. I think yell at her in front of her children. I think, basically dismantling her home. I think spending all the money, not paying certain bills. I think there's a lot of things that Chance could have done that to me are bigger deals than cheating on her when she already suspected him of it. And to act so upset, like, I hate you. And then he tries to turn it on her. And he's like, well, listen, I really thought you cheated on me because everyone told me that obviously you were cheating on me if you were so jealous of me. If you were wondering what I was doing, then that means that obviously you were up to some nefarious activities. And so therefore I thought, like, instead of asking you and talking to you like an adult should, I thought like, well, fuck it, I should do it too. And then he's like, well, you know what, Taylor, the first time it happened, I was just so fed up that I turned that girl around and I bent her over right there. And like the way he was so graphic with just telling her about how he, I don't know, had sex with this woman in what felt like behind the bar in an alley somewhere in Missouri really upsets me. I think that he should go find Red and hang out somewhere. Red from another show. Is it Red from this show? Yeah, it is Red from this show. It ended with her crying and it ended up with a lot of shenanigans. Mm-hmm. But I think that's it. Okay. You want to move on to Red and Joinomi?
Yeah. Let's absolutely do it. God bless.
Jesus. So Red and Joinomi. Mm-hmm. So we haven't heard from them in a while. Mm-hmm. But basically the tea is that Red is now in the house with Joinomi. They're having a heart-to-heart. And he finally decides to come clean of all of his activities. And so they sit down and she asks him all those questions. Red! I can't even do her voice. Sorry. Tell me the truth. What have you done? And he's like, well, man, Angie tries to lie about, you know, like little details, like she got rid of me. And I was like, that's not the good lie to tell. You don't ever say that somebody else let you go. You say that you let them go, because then that puts in the mind of your other person that you would still be trying to be with them if they hadn't let you go. So that was wrong. So she's like, here's the list of things that I need from you. I need you to tell me the truth And I need it again. Tell me the truth and tell me the truth. So he's like, okay, I had sex with somebody. And she's like, is one of the girls from the pictures? And he's like, yes. And she's like, who is it? Casey? And she's like, no, Julie. And he's like, I know I fucked up, man. I've been a fuck up my whole life. He does that whole thing that like Chance does, is like, mm-hmm. they start off with the sympathy card. And when that mm-hmm. doesn't work, then like they tried again. He was like, I was mad, you know, I didn't want to, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm like, what do you mean you didn't want to? So you just like fell? And then like the petty producers and the editors just like cut to a picture of him reaching over asking for a hug and a kiss from that woman, as though like, mm-hmm. sir, you did want to.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely did want to. I say that because one thing is, I feel like a normal human explanation is, hey, Joy, I just got out of prison, and I mean, I said this before, I need to have like, just like sex with like a couple of different people. Cause it's been so long. And I just get out of my seat. Like I need it. And I need to also pay some ladies back. You know what I'm saying? Because for some reason I'm red and I have a magical money-making D. I have a money-making, think about this. And I just want really, it's like, he's a femdom. Well, no, but you know what I'm saying? Like he's a sex worker. I mean, you know, I'm saying he got my, I guess really more like a sex worker, but it's financial. Like, he is, because I don't know, if, I would love to know that he was like berating people for this money, which, and by the way, is there great.
He's,
great
let's question. Move on. He's not.
Okay. But no, I want to ask the question. Let me ask it. Are there male heterosexual to female femdoms? And I have assuming there absolutely is, where they're like, you're so ugly, or you're so dumb, or you're so whatever, you pay me, bitch, pay me, you know. And then I mean, that exists, right?
Anyway. I think you're okay, that's fine. Okay. I think you're using the wrong word. You're talking about a financial dominatrix.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, but I think it's like not a dominatrix, that's a woman.
Well, can you say a financially dominant man? That's what I'm asking. Is there a femdom man?
Yeah. I don't. There must be.
Yeah, I might.
Been, I don't I know, don't, but I feel like if you can think it, there is it.
Mm-hmm. Like, so you're saying that the name would be Finmaster?
There must be some. It's a different name. Yes,
that's got what it. I'm saying. You know. Well,
yeah.
Great. Anyway, but yeah, he has to pay back.
They're out here listening to us to shame us.
I know. I want them to give me money. Like, so I want to play a different game where it's just like I act ignorant and people give me money for that. But anyway, I'm going to get back to this. He obviously has been getting money while in prison. So I kind of wish he was just like, Joy, I got fucking $5,000 from this girl. And I mean, she expects a little something. And I mean, before I go home, I'm just going to like give her the D. I'll get, you know, tested or whatever. And also like, side note, remember that time you made a baby? You know what I'm saying? Because you were on the outside being able to fuck everyone. And I was, you know, not so much, you know, on the outside.
And then she would say, but Red, you told me that you didn't care about that. You said you wouldn't hold it against me. And
I lie all the time. You know me, mm-hmm. I'm a cheating, lying. Yeah, that's where he gets real chancy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what he has to say. But he's not going to do that. I think sometimes people just don't understand that honesty is the best policy. And he chose in this moment to be honest. Mm. And she kicked him out. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, she kicked him out. So he's like, man, I'm not gonna be able to see Sway no more. And I'm upset because I lost my family. But he's, you know, listen, he's resilient. If anything, he got himself a new boo, mm-hmm. somebody else mm-hmm. to smoke blunts with. So he's living mm-hmm. the high life in Missouri. I don't know if it's going to work well for him, but she's like, before she kicks him out, she says, you need to go get, check him. Did you use protection? No. Well, you need to call her and see if she got your baby. And I'm like, no. You need to check everybody, see if y'all have an STD.
Yeah.
Because Miss Julie does drugs, in my mind, allegedly. I don't know. In my mind.
I think you're right. I mean, I hate to say it. I think you're not wrong. I don't think you're wrong about that.
Yeah. Sway is cool. Sway is like, yay, it's just me and mommy again. Sway does not give one F about Red.
So, I know that part. That part was interesting. And of course, like all the sisters being like, well, we kind of told you so. I don't know what kind of voice is that, you know, but like they did. Now I want to be like, can you go back and get your fucking grandma's antique jewelry from episode one? I mean, I can tell you
an
episode one narrative exposition. Yeah, I'll, for the rest of my life, rent free in my head that this person's grandma jewelry is for Red. By the way, again, Findom, magical D-dick that is just... people throw money at it. And
it's not a lot of money though, Chris. That's the thing. It's like it's 25 here, 15 there, 750 sometimes.
I don't know what I'm getting.
Okay, no, it's not enough. So he gonna say that his breakup with Joy is a little dilemma. And I was like, do we not know the demeaning of words? Because that is not a little dilemma. Mm-mm. And he calls a job. It's the saddest. You know, that black lady was like, oh, okay, oh, baby. So you worked at the Department of Corrections? And he was like, oh, no, I just got out. She was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and be honest and tell you no. That background is not going to work. It's not going to fly by my husband. So, but I wish you the best. Okay, stay sweetheart.
Don't go back now. Yeah.
Don't go back now. Stay out of trouble. Stay out of trouble.
I will.
Yeah.
Missouri feels like the South.
Warehouse won't take you.
Yeah, that part. Okay, but it's a mom and pop warehouse. So
must be.
But one of those mom and pop warehouses, you know,
taking
on Amazon.
Or the other places that have warehouses.
I don't know. Target.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uline. Armor All. Kohl's. A good old Kohl's warehouse. Mm-hmm. A good old Nordstrom's. He was buying up Nordstrom's. That's what he was doing. Or Nordstrom's.
Nordstrom's.
Nordstrom's. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Alrighty. So that's the end of his and Joy and Red's adventure together. Mm-hmm, I didn't realize that this was the series season finale. And I was
I didn't
happy.
Either. No, I
was
know.
And so happy.
Yeah, when we got the breakdown, I was like, oh, so soon? Thank God. Oh, Brett needed a good time, honey.
I know. It's
fine.
It's not 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, you're okay. Absolutely right.
Key Rock and Brittany. Oh, you don't think Key Rock is toxic and is a gaslighter as well?
You know, I can't tell if he is, you know, a victim of the sick. I mean, I don't know. I think that Brittany, I don't know, babes. I don't know. I think they're both really young and very simple, you know, simple.
Okay.
I have to think of a better word for simple.
Okay.
You know, where, when I keep saying simple, it's like one small idea of the world, you know? I mean, so that's what it feels like. However, that pastor was really, really, I like. Yeah. So we can talk about them.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't go to work because she's depressed. And that's not a reason not to go to work. So privilege.
He called her on that. He's like, why? And she's like, because we want to go see my grandma, you know? I'm going to be like, you so badly don't want to do anything. You just want to be a little wife, which I get it, you know, but like, it's so obvious.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Oh, I do think so. I think so. That's true.
So she starts to talk about moving to New York in like a year or two, or like, no, next year. And of course he can't handle it. Mm-hmm. So he is somebody who's like, we can't start talking about what we're going to do to next year until next year. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. What? If you're talking about moving in a year, you should start talking about it now.
Yes,
unless
the
answer is no.
Yes,
then
yes.
You say, I'm not ready to leave my mom yet. I'm sorry, babe.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I understand.
He very much only thinks of himself. You're right. Like in that situation, she could not, she was like, bitch, I also have a family. Do you understand? I have a family. It's not just all about your mom and your family and your brother and the, you know, like really meet my family. Yes, I understand that.
Yeah. And she's been living with his family for at least a year or so, whatever, right? And so like she's asking for him to just open up his world a little bit and think about it. And all of a sudden he's like, I can't leave. I'm the man of the house. My mom needs me. What if her cancer comes back? Like yada, yada. And I'm just like, well, there has to be some kind of something of like, babe, maybe you go up there, like something to, you know, he immediately goes into like, you're being crazy. Like, why would I do that? I'm sorry. I just got out. I have a whole life to think of, not you. You made your bed to stay with me. So why would I be thinking about you and your family and your wants?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I think that, you know, I agree that he's
wildly narcissist.
But they're all in white, honey. They're all going to get, I do like the conversation about like her Catholic upbringing versus Christianity though. Because we had that conversation all the time.
Yeah, but why do people keep... Catholics are Christian.
Catholics are Christian, yes.
So it's weird to me when people like say something when it's like,
because is there an- what they're saying, evangelical non-denominational Christianity versus the, you know, Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, I know that, but is there not another way to say it without making it seem like the Catholics are a different, like they don't believe in that Jesus is the Son of God? Like that's, I guess that's the thing that makes me like, it alienates it in a way that it is unnecessary to me.
I agree. Being Catholic, I never understood it. I also didn't understand being Catholic that there would be so many people in this world who were Christian and not Catholic.
Mm.
I thought Catholics were, I thought the most people were Catholic because we had the best church, being Catholics. The oldest church, the Catholic Church.
You mean the best as in the oldest or the best as in like...
And I'm saying something from like a... I mean, this is me back in the day. I'm not, you know, this is just me being
No, I went to a Catholic church when I was young and I was like waiting for it to be exciting. Like I was sitting there like, when is the fanfare? Like,
the only good part is when you can turn around and shake hands with people. The PC with you part. That's the, and then, I mean, obviously for me, my favorite parts were the part I could talk. So anytime that I would be able to talk back or sing, that'd be great. It, when I say PC with you, is always fun because you get to talk to people and they'd be like, hey, PC with you, you. And then like, I would try to make that part happen forever. And then of course the part where you eat, you know, yeah. I mean, yes, it's the body of Christ
the
or whatever.
Of Christ?
The bread and blood. I don't know, honey, the bread and blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. Body and blood.
That's always fun too.
In the Byzantine church, we get actual bread dipped in actual, not really great, wine. And then when you go to like the Roman Catholic church, you get a weird like space cracker. You know,
yeah, the space cracker is what I'm used to. And grape juice.
I never got, sometimes there is wine in the Roman Catholic church, but it's always different because they're never going to put that space cracker in the juice. They're going to like, you go to one line, you get your space cracker, and then you go to a different one and you all drink from the chalice. But what I'm telling you,
you all share the same cup.
It's disgusting. When I did this, I was like, absolutely fucking not. Again, by the way, another thing is when you're in the Roman Catholic church, you go up, you take the communion in your hand. So they're putting it in the hand and you're just like, thanks. The hand I just shook for all the PC with yous. I haven't washed yet because I've been in church. Into your mouth. But in the Byzantine church, you go up to them and then they take the actual bread. They dip it in the wine for you. It's one priest's hand. Maybe I'm hoping it's washed, whatever. And then, so it's yummy. And then it puts right in your goddamn mouth. So it's so clean. It's not a bunch of lips. It's boop, boop, boop. It's boop, boop, boop. Boop, boop, boop. Boop, boop, boop.
I recall they come around with a little like, no, you go up, you line up and you go to the front, and I think the little space crackers are on a silver like platter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember where you get it from,
or in and a then, cup sometimes, or like in a little
and then the little grape juices are in a silver thing that's thick enough and slots on it to where you pull it out of one of the little slots, and it's just a taste. It's like in a little plastic, not enough to do anything. Anyways, so they get dipped in and baptized, and he's just leaning into anybody who's born again. To me, born again Christians, listen, and this is no shade to any born again Christian out there, no shade, this is my personal experience, so no shade to you. Born again Christians are the most dangerous. They are so wild to me. It's because they have spent most of their life not in the church or doing, sometimes roaming the earth, just doing whatever, being bad, right? And then they find Jesus, but either they still have that through line of bad, or they are so convinced and have such conviction that their piety is so intense, and that is key rock to me. Like, I feel like he would turn his religion against Brittany in a heartbeat. Like, he would tell her she's not being a good Christian. Like, yeah, that has been my experience when I meet born agains. Like, and I'm like, first of all, slow down. Like, people who were born in the church can be churchy and judgy. Yes, obviously we all were. But there's just, by the time you get to like your 20s and your 30s and you're still in the church, you've already seen enough and seen like enough hypocrisy and gone through so much in your life that you usually become a lukewarm Christian, or your Christianity is cool, but you're not interested in pushing it on to others. You're just like, listen, I'm just trying to live my life righteously. I don't worry about anybody else. But sometimes these born-agains, they be on a whole other mission. So
I get it. I totally understand. I will say I did like this preacher. I thought that the preacher was like super fun. She was like definitely like riling up the crowd. You know what I'm saying? And like, did you clock, by the way, he rocks like brand new Timberlands, and you also see Britney's nails. They were absolutely intense. But I just realized in the notes, I want to do Chevelle and Quaylon, because I think I might have not written that down. I want to make sure that we do them. You know what I'm saying? Because it's my own fault.
Oh, don't worry. We won't forget them. How can we?
I will. Okay. So basically, just to get them by, because there's only one setup, but it's an important one. Obviously, we had gotten the expository information that Chevelle wants Quaylon to adopt Mylia. Is that her name?
Almost. Mylia.
Sorry. And we were like, oh, well, seems like we have to get another person's opinion here. You know, God bless. And obviously, besides that kind of small scene we saw earlier, we've gotten a lot of the moms versus the moms. So a lot of older lady being upset at older lady and older lady being upset at Chevelle and everything like that. So enter this scene where Chevelle is now meeting her baby father's mother, who I was like, oh my God, it looks just like Debbie Allen.
So much. With a rack shelf bootay.
By the way, I love this woman. I think that she is full of character. You know what I'm saying? Like, she has huge eyes, you know, like she's very expressive, you know, like, I just there's something about her. I was just like, oh shit, you know? And then so Chevelle, honey, I don't know who paid her for this, but shows up to this like park to have this meeting with a full waist trainer on, as if it's like the late aughts. You know,
this isn't late aughts, girl. This is still happening.
I see it.
On the black side of TikTok and black women are still zipping themselves up and Velcroing themselves into waist trainers.
I was going to say, I forgot the name of that one Instagram person that would always comment on all the shade room stuff. That's like the Instagram waist trainer of all waist trainers. I'll look it up.
Oh, I stopped following shade room. It was just too much negativity with black people. I can't have like a black publication be so like terrible. So she was really trying to get it together for this wedding and rearrange her organs in the meantime, in between time. So we get to a public park, Beverly Hills Park. They showed us twice, mm-hmm. In Texas somewhere.
Beverly Hills Park, Texas.
Yeah. And so they get there to meet with Mayela's grandmother from her father's side, who has secretly flown down to Texas from Missouri to meet with Chevelle because there is some shenanigans afoot and she wants to clear the air. She basically wants to tell Chevelle that the way Chevelle has been kind of hoarding her daughter is not right. And there's a whole side of the family who love Mylia and Chevelle is not doing what's right. And I can only imagine it's the move that's really got her upset. The fact that Chevelle has moved to Texas. Now, I don't know if Chevelle's mother has moved to Texas as well. I have a sneaky suspicion she did because she's been at all the festivities, unless she's just been traveling from Missouri. But they feel a kind of way that she moved Mylia. Now, I don't know what the court systems are in Missouri, but I think depending on your custody or if the father signed the birth certificate or whatever, she would have had to have permission from the father to move in some states, in some places. So my only thought is maybe he didn't sign that birth certificate and therefore does not have any rights naturally.
You're right.
Or something.
It's very confusing, but obviously... Yeah.
It's confusing.
I love the fact that this woman is like, no, that's... I mean, I want to see, you know, a person that's related to me, like, this means a lot to me. What's hard is that she definitely doesn't want to acquiesce that her son has been a horrible father or done anything. What she wants to do is put all the onus on Chevelle for not either... whatever it is, like, for making it hard for her son to see his daughter or whatever, you know, they have this little back and forth of like, well, he doesn't ever see her. And the mom's like, what happened 2 weeks in the summer? And she's like, she was with you. He's like, what do you think? He wasn't here. Like, you know, it was so interesting. And it was like, what Chevelle wants to say is he's not stable enough for my daughter to go to his house. She's staying with you at your house, you know, and the mom knows that, you know, obviously isn't able to be like, yeah, maybe that's a thing. So I think that there has to be understanding, and the women do come together at the end, but I think that what really has to be said is woman to woman. How would I trust my daughter to spend time with this man if we both know there's no stable house place for her to stay with where this person's a functioning adult that both of us would feel comfortable. And I think that that's, you know, what it is. And this man, what's hard hitting is that we've never really understood why she feels like Quaylon has to like suddenly adopt her daughter, who by the way, isn't like super excited about that. I think once Myla was like, I'm good. Then I'd be kind of like, oh, okay, well, I wouldn't think that if like, obviously I'm from a divorced, you know, family, like, I can't imagine a world in which, yeah, like, one of my parents got married, then tried to get the other, you know, to give up their parental rights to have someone else, like, adopt me or whatever. But, like, even if there was a time in which, yeah, there was a time in which I didn't see my mom for a long time and I was living with my dad, I can't imagine a world in which my dad would have married someone and be like, well, and also, you adopt this person. I feel like my dad would have just married someone and been like, that's still my daughter, and now you're my wife, and you're my daughter's stepmom. You know, like, I don't, but, you know, that's just a different culture thing.
Yeah, I also feel like it is, I just don't understand the reason. Like, I just don't understand, I don't understand, does she want for Quaylon to feel more legitimate? Does she want for, to be this happy family? Because her and Quaylon are not stable. Mm-hmm. And I think Myla sees that. Also, Quaylon, he looks like somebody's uncle who's had a hard life. The man is only in his early 30s. He looks like he's late 40s.
You're right.
In the face.
Yeah.
So like, no. Not a good situation for Myla to be adopted by. There's no reason for that to be needed, unless the man is just such a deadbeat, but she has a whole family now. I do agree with you, this mother is being ridiculous by not trying to acknowledge that her son ain't shit, and we don't know what her living situation is like. We don't know, this isn't the time of old where you just send your child for 2 weeks to be bounced around from different people's houses on that daddy side of the family. Like, we don't know what the situation is like. And so just because she can hop on a plane and come down to Texas doesn't mean anything. Her son isn't doing what he's supposed to do and probably never has. And so that's not Chevelle's problem to fix that for him.
Yeah, so exactly.
You're absolutely right. So she wants to meet Quaylon, and I just was like, why? Yeah. You need to check him out? Like, you need to go check your son out. Thank you.
You're right.
There's just a lot.
I know. I felt like a mob boss. Like, let me see what, you know, like, Quaylon be like, all right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You obviously have no power. You can't even see your own granddaughter. So
she's like, I have grandparent rights. And I was like, do you? Is that a thing? But did your son sign the birth certificate?
Yeah. Really, there are such things, but who knows what they mean in any state, but yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, honey.
Blaine and Lindsay. Or do we want to move on to Justine and Michael? Because do we want to end with Justine and Michael? Oh, we have so many left.
Yeah, we have
many left. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So yeah, we still have Louie and Melissa too. So Lindsay and Blaine, though. We're going to Lindsay and Blaine, honey. It's rock music. Like, that's a horrible rock music. But can you imagine? It's like drums. It's like, you know, hard guitar. It's like that kind of like, kind of rock music, you know. Every time I hear it, I'm like, this is wild how anyone could listen to this. I think it's just so funny. It's so funny to me that one person once was like, what if I start singing like I'm a bad guy? And then a whole bunch of people were like, yes, a new genre. Like,
No, I figured it out. I asked my friend once in college, I was like, wait, so tell me what it is. I don't understand how people like this music. And she said, when I hear it, it makes me want to dance. It makes me want to move my body. That's what she said to me, Chris.
No, it doesn't.
And wait, she said that to me. And ever since then, I was like, oh, so the way that other music makes me want to move my body makes you want to move your body? Oh. So anytime you hear that movie, Chris, I mean that music, Chris, just know that there are people out there who want to move their body when they hear that music. Yes.
That's wild. No, that Dua Lipa makes it. No, I want to dance to Dua Lipa, you know, like no. I definitely.
There are people who want that. They want that.
They don't get life. Okay. I don't like them.
Listen,
Fine. They're fine. Whatever, but like to each their own. I won't yuck someone's yum, but it's bringing Lindsay and Blaine's, obviously dramatic situation to light. So we're on the
this heat. So anticlimactic. And you were so waiting for this episode because you wanted to know what happened.
Yeah. Which is in the middle of this argument, Blaine, like in all of his just like disgruntled, like very intense at an 11 accusation right out Lindsay. Well, you fucked a married man. And you're just like, what? I'm sorry. What? You know, he's out of his like gourd. She's, you know, she looks when he says this immediately guilty, and she like slumps to the couch and he like thinks that he has one, he's like gonna pack. She's like, it's so confusing, and like basically we don't get any more details about that. And I'm so mad because like this show only has like whatever, how many good, like, dramatic turns to it. And there's not a producer that was like, we need to milk that. Let's get some more. Like, right to the confessional, be like, excuse me, more details. Because they're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know. No, nothing's happened. I was just, you know, like, she, like, gives some, like, bullshit thing. And then he doesn't really answer. It feels like either they made up or he was told not to talk. And he's like, by the way, I feel like I cannot decipher if this is 100% real or not.
Oh, I think it's real.
I think they're, aren't they together right now?
I don't know. I'd like to watch just the show. I don't pay attention to anything else. So they have this heated exchange back and forth, and he's still yelling about the married person. And she just says, well, I don't know what Blaine is talking about. It's like he's upset, so he's just trying to throw anything at me. And how do I know who you are? You're nothing but a lying, conniving con artist. Like, it is just so nothing but a lying, conniving con artist, manipulous, narcissist ass, self-centered, self-caring.
Yeah. I mean, I had to write all that down. I couldn't believe it, you know.
Rides off in that truck with that damn ain't nothing but $800. And
she rides off on the RV. Yeah, then he's like, yeah, he says, I just love that so much. Nothing but a lying, conniving, and corn artist, manipulative, narcissist, ass, self-centered, self-cared. And then they bleeped out the last part, and I wrote in there, hooker? I couldn't quite tell what he said, you know, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then gets on the RV that he bought for Kagan, his baby son, who was like,
wait, it's not called an RV. An RV is a big ass truck that has a home in the side. Yeah.
You're right. Four wheeler. Is that a four wheeler? What is that?
I don't know
called?
What it's called. ATV? ATV.
I thought ATV was the name of the porn awards that happen in Vegas every year. Oh, that's ABN, adult video. You know that?
But I'm like, no, isn't that called AVP?
You're right. P?
AV. adult video awards?
AVA?
Yeah, maybe ABA.
Iggy Azalea performed at the ABAs this year.
Oh my God. The only thing I know about the ABAs is when What's Her Face got up there super skinny. What's her name? That super famous one from the early aughts, late 90s.
Jenna Jameson?
Yeah. She got on there and she was like, this industry is not a good one. I was like, oh girl, speak your truth, sis. Okay.
Yeah, so basically that's what happens. Okay, so yeah, he writes off and they're supposedly not together because she moved out. Okay, so do you want to get through Justine and Michael?
Yeah. Okay. So the whole dramatic got another anticlimactic. The whole drama of the mother walking by with the test. You know, I modeled it really good last episode. If you guys were here for that, I just like had a box and I was like walking through. Anyway, so that turned out to be her taking it out to the trash can.
I hate it.
Like, I trust Justine. She go for my song. So
she places it right on top of a very full trash can and then like puts the little bag on top and then puts the trash lid. It's like one of those trash lids, like the circular ones made from like stainless steel. I mean, I was like, it's later like, on, I'm like, are you
Oscar the Grouch?
Yes.
Is it Oscar the Grouch's cat? No.
She's Oscar the Grouch. At one point, I'm like, is Justine going to find the test and be like, oh, you know, because like it was placed perfectly on top that if this was a sitcom from the 90s, someone else would come into the kitchen and be like, oh, someone's pregnant in the house. And maybe they think it's the little girl or something like that. But then the grandma at the very end of the interview be like, it was mine. Sorry. Yeah. You know, like that's what happened back. But we don't have those anymore. But it's a multicam. But anyway, then we get the scene where Justine looks like it looks like she's like in her nursing finest. Like she looks like she's going back to like nursing nurses, like she's wearing like what looks like scrubs and a very tight ponytail, but she has a little baby and she keeps doing this thing with a little baby that's so cute. She like just like puts her cheek to the baby's cheek.
Oh my gosh, she's in love. She is in love. She is just like pushing that kid all around her face. She hasn't had a baby in 10 years. She's just like trying to like, if this were the baby, she's like, and I'm like, I want a baby that I can.
I want the baby. I want a soft skin. I want to just like nuzzle a baby. I want to Eskimo kiss a baby. You know, I want to like just take my nose. I want my nose to like go over all of a baby's face.
Oh, it's just so cute. And so Michael's like, look at this. Look at our family. Blah, de blah. So excited. Hey, babe, what do you think about, you know, my daughter and my mom coming with me to Vegas? And she's like, I think it's a great idea for the daughter to come. But then she's like, okay, the mom could come too. It's fine. And I'm here. I'm happy for it. So her mom's happy. His mom is happy. Everybody's happy. Their stuff is in Vegas. They're having the rest of it shipped. And then they're going to go there and live. So.
Okay. Well, we've come to the almost the end. But we have one more. We have one more revealing couple, which is the reveal of Melissa's new. No. So basically, you know, Melissa has ran onto the beach with a scarf over her nose. And she is like, Louis, do you want to see it? And he's like, yeah, I want to see it. And he gives a perfect reaction, which is that he's like, oh, I love it, babe. And here's, you know, let's hang out or whatever. And she's like, I'm not 100%. And I, you know, I'll be honest. It's like, it's very interesting. It does feel like they made the tip very high. Why? Yeah. Like, you know, they like made the tip so high.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It's like her nostril. They want everybody to look in directly inside her nose.
Yeah. It's so, it's interesting because like you have a cute, you know, what is like a high tip to the end of your nose. But you know how even right now, if you're like up, I mean, you don't have like, you don't have like a really bulbous tip, you know what I'm saying? Like, but how we can't look up your nostrils even right now.
Hers is like,
yeah, there's this thing that happens when you lift the tip up. When you lift the tip up like this, you can just see so much nostril.
Yeah.
Look how crazy this makes me look. It's my lips.
Yeah, no, that doctor did a terrible job.
Why? Why? You know this person's on TV. Like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe you have to make sure that, you know, like to go to someone who has a more delicate hand. I mean, she, you know, she's, Yeah, she should have. They should have given her a little more.
I always think nose jobs are just like, I just listen. All of the Jacksons have had terrible nose jobs, and they are rich. So to me, like, you just never know.
That. You never knows.
Yeah,
you never knows. I know. I get it. So, but at the same time, it's still healing. Maybe it'll look different. Maybe it'll come down. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like swollen. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give her some grace. Okay. And then we have this like weird moment where then he's like, I got something for you, you know, and she's like, oh my God, is this it? He's going to propose. And we're like, with what? Like a slice of pizza? Which
she doesn't want him to propose. He doesn't have anything. She's like chronically upset with who he is right now. Why would she want him to propose? That she could be angry and stressed out about this wedding?
The next season. That's how you get on the next season.
Girl.
She done. Basically, you know, and he doesn't propose, but he kind of like proposes a little bit. He's like, well, we'll get married soon, right? Is that what you want? She's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, well, yeah, we can get married. It's like a promise to propose. Okay. You know,
what is the purpose of being bonded to life to him? Anyways, let's
see. She got the man she wanted in the end, you know?
So, okay. Well, you guys, if you would like to support us, you can by joining us on patreon.com/docusweeties. You get the visuals of what you're listening to, plus exclusive content such as a live every first Monday of the month, which is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in that content, please join us at patreon.com/docusweeties, $10 a month. But if you can't do that, Chris will tell you your free options. Chris?
Please go ahead and follow us at DocuSweeties on all your social medias. We are at DocuSweeties on Instagram, at DocuSweeties on TikTok, at DocuSweeties1 on X. We have a Facebook group, the DocuSweeties Podcast Facebook group. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't yet, consider giving us 5 stars and a friendly review wherever you listen to podcasts. All right.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
Bye.